You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. My fellow friend, colleague, Rob Hollis is here rubbing his tattoo. What is that tattoo of?
It's the Kid A bear from Radiohead.
Are you a millennial?
No, I don't think so.
I think you are.
Let's see, what constitutes a millennial?
You're 29.
I'm 30.
Hey, folks, I want to say thank you for listening once again. Make sure you subscribe, tell all your friends. It really helps us so we can keep doing the show. I'm going to be in Denver, Comic-Con. I'm going to be in Calgary, Orlando, Boston. I'm going to Australia in June. So if you're around Dallas, look around. And me and Welling are going to be there. A little Smallville fun at these cons. Album, Left on Laurel. Follow us on at Left on Laurel, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And our album's coming out in about 2 months. And I think you're going to dig it. We're going to start putting songs out as they get mastered and are finished.
At the end of May, I'm going to be in San Francisco on May 31st and Seattle on June 1st.
Rob does this. When I start telling what I'm going to do, Rob starts smiling and I know something's up. And then he's like, well, why don't I tell everybody where I'm going to be?
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. So, I mean, if anyone wants to come check out Armchair Expert Live.
We got a great show today. You know, this comedian is just so open and fun. I've known her for a long time, but I got to know her more on this podcast, to tell you the truth. Fortune Feimster. And, you know, many people say Feimster, but I think it's Feimster, isn't it?
I met her at the interview. So.
She's brilliant. She is a wonderful comedian, writer, actress. She was in Last Comic Standing. She has been on the Mindy Project, Chelsea Lately. She was just a regular.
She's a powerhouse.
She's a powerhouse. And she's really open about like her childhood and growing up and how hard it was growing up, like, you know, being gay and having to, you know, hear that a lot is just something, it's a secret that, you know, you have to hold on to. And it's, that's just got to be so terrible. Like, people don't understand when you're gay that you can't come out with it in a world. But now, you know, you can do that. You're accepted. And for so long, you weren't able to.
It's getting better. We're not completely there yet.
It's getting better. Look, it's absolutely getting better. But, you know, she talks about it. It wasn't until her 20s. Like, she moved out to L.A., I remember. And she, you know, it was just listening to that. I got lost in the thought thinking, oh, my God, what if, you know, if I were gay? You know, having to hold that onto that and, you know, just like that's a tough thing to deal with. And she talks about a lot of stuff, hardships and how positive she remains and, you know, stress, anxiety, bombing on stage. Let's get inside Fortune Feimster.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Fortune Feimster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the original name.
Fortune's my...
Middle name.
Middle name.
And what's your real name?
Emily.
Emily.
But Fortune's a real name.
Yeah, I know, but what...
Like, what's this pretend name?
If you don't know her, you just Google her right now. I mean, by this point, you'll have already Googled her. You're seeing a picture. She's like, I'm going to use the word omnipresent.
Check out my nudes.
Do you have some nudes?
I wish.
You do some pretty provocative shit, though. I see some pictures, and I'm like, yes.
Yes.
You go for it. But then there was a stunning picture that you just put up, and you were glamored the F out.
It was for a movie I did like a year ago.
What was that called? That bad?
Social Animals.
Oh, Social Animals.
It was very indie.
Very indie?
Very small.
And you glamored it up?
We had to... I played a straight woman, of course. And
are you being serious?
That's my goal, is to play. I want to play straight ladies.
Doesn't that suck when you're like, you're a lesbian, right? Is that the proper word?
Right.
Is that what we talk about?
is that what
we say?
Yeah, lesbian's a good word.
How about gay? Do you still say gay?
Either one.
We could say lesbian. We could say gay.
We can say either.
You know, I guess it's similar to somebody who played the bad guy all the time when he was always getting cast as the bad guy after
right.
that. They only see that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
She's out. The world knows her as a lesbian. Let's cast her as a lesbian. She's the perfect lesbian. But
right.
Isn't it fun when they go, somebody's a little smarter, a little more creative, and they go, what's the look of gay?
Right.
Do you hate when people say, oh, that's the look of gay?
I mean, I guess I look gay.
You've got that look. The look of gay.
You're the look of gay. Do you ever get that?
Oh, my God. I do get it. I get it from my producer all the time. But I do get that. I think a lot of people think I'm gay. They thought I was gay.
I've never thought that.
Really?
You seem all bro to me.
Maybe because I was trying to hit on you or pick you up one night. You're like, this guy is not gay.
We have a lot of sexual chemistry.
We really do. We really do. But I, you know, I have gotten that. In fact, one time my mom in college asked me because I guess I was doing—
Your mom?
I was doing theater.
Oh, so that's— and, anyone in the Midwest, right, equates and that with gay.
Well, she's pretty liberal, but she was like, you know, Michael, it's okay. You know, I have gay friends. I don't care. Uh-huh. She even went as far to say as I have a gay friend. He even has AIDS.
Oh, so, wow. She took it to that.
I want you to know that I support whatever you do. I go, good.
Good.
I am gay. And I let the joke go on.
And she didn't joke, talk to you like, for a year.
Well, no, she did, but I let it go for like just a week, maybe a few days.
Oh, really?
I went back to college.
That's hilarious.
And I go, Mom, by the way, I'm not gay. And she goes, oh, well, I already told Lucy and Diane and Peggy.
Oh, the whole neighborhood.
Oh, my God. And in Indiana, it's like everybody assumed I was gay.
Yeah, Mom.
It's still to this day, I think they go, oh, yeah, one of them fairy actors. If you're an actor, you got to be gay. You have gay in you.
Yeah, and if you live in LA, that's a double whammy of gay.
You know, we stereotype that, though. If somebody does this, like my assistant Jessica, mm-hmm. She just said her friend's a hairstylist. And I go, oh, he's gay. She's yeah. like, no, he's not.
And he's not.
I'm like, are you sure? He's a hairstylist. How many? But statistically,
I don't know a lot of straight hairstylists. But look at us learning.
Yeah, it's like, don't judge the book.
Yeah.
Don't judge the cover. Don't judge the
don't
book
judge
before
the
you
book.
Judge the Mike Judge. How did it go?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a treat to have you because we've met through our friend. Tell us how we met.
Sarah Colonna is our mutual friend.
Hilarious comedian.
Who you've known for a while.
She was in my movie back in the day.
That's right.
And if I had known you back then, I think you would have been in the movie.
I'm 100% sure.
Well, your improv skills are... they're right up there with the best.
Oh, thank you.
I think that's because you went to Groundlings.
Yeah,
right?
I was a Groundlings person for like 7 years.
Did people just think you were the funniest shit in the world then?
They thought I was funny for sure, but I was always my own person. I didn't quite fit the Groundlings mold. So,
like the mold of everybody has this character.
Yeah.
You were sort of what?
I don't know how to even describe it. I would do... very fortune characters. I don't even know
what's
what
a
that
fortune
is.
Character. What's an Emily Fortune character?
Like usually pretty crazy characters that are just kind of bonkers, and you don't really know what the scene is about, but you're really enjoying watching this bizarre character. Like I did an old lounge singer who played the piano, and. She wore a very sparkly top and had like spiky short hair.
Mm-hmm.
And all she cared about was that people bought her signature cocktail. So I would start singing and then interrupt my song with, I just want to tell everybody I got my signature cocktail for sale right now.
What kind of song would you sing to start that?
Like,
was it a made up song?
Made up songs. Or yeah, and I called it the Tita Martin Sunrise Sunset Signature Cocktail. And it turns out at the end the signature cocktail is awful. It has like cranberry juice and Sprite.
And nobody
and
drinks
limes
it. Nobody likes
and
it.
And a whole banana.
Well, you're gonna get your potassium.
And nobody likes it. So I did weird things.
And people like this. They attack because it was so off the wall.
Yes.
It was like, what is she doing?
Yes, but it wasn't.
And you committed. Is that the key?
I committed.
Even if you are, do you think that's the key in life in general? I mean, I know the answer to this, but don't you think that like, even if you're bombing, even if you're, it's not you, if you stay with it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get out of it and go, oh, yeah, that didn't work.
No, you have to. I had some scenes there that just was like, pin drops, and I went harder.
Did it scare you?
Yeah.
How do you go
actually,
harder?
No. There was a scene I did with a friend of mine, and I wrote it. Poor friend of mine got dragged into this with me, where we played two flight attendants who would sing. This was before like Southwest was really doing all that sync, you know, how they'll be like, we landed, we're here in Orlando.
Yeah, Virgin does that a lot, yeah. Right? Virgin and those.
So I would sing everything.
Now they rap.
Yeah. I sang all the instructions for everything. And And I would talk about like oxygen masks, and I'd be like, how am I supposed to breathe with no air?
Did people hate you in the scene?
You want to hate.
So in the scene, right.
But no one, there was only two of us. It was just the two of us on stage, and no one laughed at anything. And actually, what? It was kind of freeing because we came off stage and both just fell into a ball of laughter. Like, we were like, we sucked so bad that we couldn't help but just die laughing.
You know what? Don't you think there's something really special about failure?
Oh, for sure.
I think, you know, the more I do fail at things, if you're able to just go, I'm still alive.
That's the thing.
I'm not dead.
That's the gift of failing, is getting through it. Then you go, oh, well, that wasn't terrible. I mean, it wasn't great, but I got through it. I'm fine. So if that happened again, I know I can make it through it. Then you don't fear failure as much.
That's what I need to do. That's my goal of 2019. Is one of them is to just embrace failure. Actually, yeah. my therapist actually wants me to fail.
Oh, are you in therapy?
Oh, yeah, Ben. Look at me. I mean, does it not just...
You're very evolved.
You know how they have the helter skelter on the head? I've got the, you know, yes, I'm in therapy.
Yeah.
Ask Rob if he's ever failed at something.
Rob, have you failed at something?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's not something in particular that comes...
Really, you can't remember anything you failed at? Relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I have failed relationships.
Everyone's failed at that.
Yeah. Have you ever, like, went up to a woman and tried to hit on her and she just wouldn't want any part of it?
I was too big of a puss to even do that step.
Really? Because you've got a hottie patati.
Yeah, I got really lucky.
You guys, how long have you been together?
3.5 years.
And how the F did that happen?
Destiny.
She came to you, didn't she?
No, we met in Chicago at Gay Pride. We started chatting. It honestly was one of those, you know how everyone's like, you'll find it when you're not looking, and
you
weren't
looking.
Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I still say that.
Yeah, and because I wasn't in a lot of serious things, but I would always date the wrong person. I remember I was just done before I met her, like 6 months before I met Jax. I was like, I'm done. I hate dating. It sucks. Dating in LA sucks because everyone's always looking for something better.
Yeah.
I was always the, like, you'll do for now person. Not me, them towards me.
Oh.
They didn't say that, but their actions did. And so after the last one before Jax, I was just like, I'm done. And I really wasn't looking. And everyone always said, you'll find it when you're not looking.
So how'd that happen?
She literally walked up.
Said what? What'd she say? What was the line? What was her pickup line?
She swears she wasn't flirting with me, but I don't believe her. Her friend apparently wanted a picture with me and was too afraid to ask me. And Jax had been drinking and was like, come on, who cares? She probably was like, who cares about this fatty? Just go ask her.
People always do that with me, too, I think, sometimes. Like, people will come up and go, oh, my friend wants a picture with you. I don't know who the fuck you are. I don't care. I don't even know who you are.
I don't know your name.
You're not even handsome.
You're not
whatever.
Even on Google.
Fuck your parents. Fuck you. They don't go that far. Okay, so.
She was that person.
You took a picture with the.
I took a picture with the friend, and I was like,
together.
I assumed they were together.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this blondie right here is pretty cute, but clearly she's taken. Oh, well. And then 10 minutes later, they come back. And I go, oh, maybe.
What's
going on? She says her friend's picture didn't turn out. And I go, yeah, sure it didn't. Wink, wink. But it gave me a false sense of confidence because I told you I wasn't good at approaching women.
Right.
I was like, oh, she's into me. So I'm going to be like, hey, what's up? You let's hang out.
Is that what you said?
But it turs out now she's since told me that the picture actually did not turn out. She was not hitting on me, but it made me more confident.
And it gave you, if you didn't have that confidence, you don't think that would ever happen?
No, I would have just assumed they were together.
So what'd you say? What's up?
I was just like, I let my, because we, you know, did the arm around each
did
other.
You rub her arm?
No, I just left my arm linger there.
Like
after
a cranberry song?
Yeah.
Just lingered there.
Just linger, let it linger.
Do you have to let it linger?
And then I was like, hey, What's your deal? You know, I don't know what I said, but
wanna fuck?
Yeah, I just got right to it. Hey, wanna fuck?
Have you ever done that?
No,
I know you don't have any comment.
I'm sure you have.
Never.
Wanna fuck?
Never. One time I was on Molly's at Burning Man, uh-huh. And I don't do drugs, but my friend Harlan and I were at Burning Man, and we said fuck it.
Yeah.
And this girl was staring at me. And I could see her like, you know, like 20, I don't know how, two rooms, how I don't, I'm not good with distance, maybe
yeah.
20 feet away, 20 feet. And she was staring at me, man, with these piercing Molly enriched eyes.
Oh, it turns out it was a statue.
No, it was not a statue. I went up to her. Finally, we just like, we're together, like this craziness going around us. And we went right together.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hey, how are you? And she goes, your breath smells terrific.
Oh.
And I go, it's watermelon gum. She goes,
you're like, it's drugs.
Can I have a piece? And I go, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it to her and we just sat there. And it was the weirdest thing, I guess, when you're messed up, looking at someone you don't know is okay. Uh-huh. If you're sober, it's weird and like that person's fucked.
Because all your defenses are down, right?
Didn't feel crazy. I wouldn't stare at someone like this. But there was like, she was staring at me.
Yeah.
And finally, after a long beat, I go, I'd really like to kiss you. And she goes, that's never going to happen. May I die? Ask Harlan. And even though I was drugged up on Molly's, it took me a good hour to get over that one. I was like, I was stung by it. I was like, what? She goes, yeah.
That was not the ending.
Then why are you staring at me? Did you just want a piece of gum?
Yeah, I think she did. She must have had a boyfriend.
So, but I don't even know why that story. I've been rejected. I've rejected. I've never gone up to a girl and go, hey, want to fuck?
Yeah, that's pretty bold.
I bet you know people that probably said that.
I'm sure, but they're not like my close friends.
So how long before you went out with Jax?
We hung out that whole weekend and have basically been together.
Wait, when you say hung out the whole weekend, let's get intimate. Was it intimate right away?
Not right away. I mean, like, not like...
You kissed?
Yeah, that.
First night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you like, did you get butterflies?
Yeah, but we've both been drinking, so some of the butterflies were just out
the window. they died from too much consumption.
Suffocated. The butterflies were drowned in liquor.
I mean, seriously, though, but you felt like, God, I hope this lasts longer than a night.
Yeah, well, I remember just really enjoying her company. And at the end of the weekend, I was like, I feel like I'm going to see her again, but that's crazy. It was like, this is crazy. She lives in Chicago, but like... There's something
about
her. Yeah. And she and her mom had plans to go to Italy for a couple weeks because they were both teachers. And we texted quite a few times while she was there, and it helped us sort of slowly get to know each other.
How long does it take you to trust someone? Like, how long before you go, she's too legit to quit? Not to quote Hammer.
It takes a while. It takes a little while.
Like, before you're like, she's for real. She's not liking me because I'm a star. She's not liking me because I'm whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually, she's genuine. How long before you really get to feel that?
I could tell pretty quick she was genuine. She was a teacher in like the south side of Chicago. Like, she was like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, and I wasn't referring to her.
Oh, gotcha.
I was in general, how long does it take? Because I met her and she's many times.
Yeah.
And she's so genuine and beautiful inside out. But
thank you. Well, she came to visit me like a month after talking like over text. And we both were, I think, we were excited, but we both realized the night before, like, oh my God, I don't actually know this person very well. And she's about to come stay with me for
like
5 days.
Yeah.
So when she landed, we were both like super nervous and didn't talk very much.
And you're like, oh, great.
Yeah. But then like you just settle in, and after like that next day, we were like very familiar with each other and it felt right. But I think it was maybe a couple months in, we both started to know that each other was legit and could be trusted.
Who said love first?
I think I did.
Was it during passion?
No, it was like on the couch, like watching TV before she had to go back to Chicago. It was more like, oh, I'm going to miss this person so much. I can't believe she's got to leave and go back.
Do you think, I think people who know me, like Rob, it's hard to see him look at me and be serious. Like you seeing me be emotional or serious or like with a girl saying, I love you. I think that would just make, I see you laughing now. Do you think that...
I see the duality in you.
Do you?
I saw it right away.
Really?
I can see your very kind side and, like, caring side and nurturing. And then I can see you're, like, having fun, being silly, being a kid.
I try to fit in still. Yeah. I think we all try to fit in. I got to be funny. I got to be this. I got to be... Although it's weird now. Now, the first time, few times I met you, I felt like, oh, I got to be funny. This is one of the funniest people I know, and I got to be funny, and I got to prove to her. And Sarah Colon hangs out with Chelsea Handler and Fortune, and, you know, I got to be funny. I think that's just a natural thing. And then after getting to know you, I was like, I think I could just be me now and say whatever the fuck I want.
You're like, oh, Fortune's not that funny in real life.
That's not true at all.
You're like, I got this.
People love you. Oh, my God. Do they love you?
Oh, people are very... I just want like to have genuine connections with people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, if we are laughing, that's awesome because it's natural and we're just having a good time. Like, we've hung out at Kelowna's and laughed so much. And then also we've, you know, sat down and talked about stuff. I like both. I like just getting to know people in that non-Hollywood surface-y way, you know?
And that's why I think that now I've been doing this, this podcast, and I talk about that. But it is, because I am getting to really know you in a way here that we've never really talked about, that we don't really bring up. So tell me about how you started your life. You don't want to talk about this at a party.
It's like we're on a friend date.
Do you cry in front of a lot of people?
No, I don't.
You don't, neither do I. I try not to.
Yeah, I'm a Cancer, though.
Me too.
You are?
When's your birthday?
I knew we were...
7/11.
7/1.
Ooh, see? We're really stubborn.
Yes, we're very stubborn.
We're very emotional, and we give everything, and we feel like we don't want anything except unconditional love.
Yes.
We don't want anything from you, but that's just true. Just be appreciative.
Don't leave
just
us.
Just don't fuck us. Just don't leave us, please, God.
We want stability.
Yeah, stability,
and security.
Right? Yeah.
Making money is important to me, only in the sense of paying my bills, having a roof over my head, being secure.
Yeah.
The unconditional
love. Were your parents good role models?
I have a very interesting relationship with my parents. My parents
are they together?
No, they've been divorced since I was 12, but they're now really good friends. But they're like nothing alike. They have nothing in common. They should never have been married, but the result is my brothers and I. So obviously it
two brothers
served a purpose. Mm-hmm.
And they're older?
They are older. They're both married with kids. Good, really good guys. My parents instilled in us manners, responsibility, ethics, hard work, all the good stuff. But my parents had their own stuff to figure out back in the day where mostly after they divorced, they both kind of were like, well, my life's ruined, so I'm going to go do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, hi, I'm 12. I need you. Help me.
So they weren't really there for you emotionally?
Not a lot during that time.
Were they supportive in terms of like, I love you, Fortune?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Emily. They called you Emily,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Emily, I love you. You're talented. We believe in you. Did you get that?
Not like in that sense. My grandmother was, I was like so close with my grandmother.
Me
she
too.
Lived around
Me
the
too.
Corner. So she really stepped in. She was my unconditional love person.
Would she like talk badly about your parents? Like,
never. And
no.
She was really great to my dad. Even after the divorce, she would treat him because he grew up in, I mean, I think my childhood had ups and downs. His was terrible and his mom was terrible. So my grandmother really stepped in and was like a mother figure. And she never said a bad word about him.
Was there infidelity?
Yes.
Your dad cheated?
Yeah.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it ended?
I mean, but on top of like a million other
drinking?
Things.
Drinking?
No, he was not a drinker.
No drinking or drugs in the family?
No. Thankfully, we just love food. We just love to eat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
It is pretty much you on stage. That's very, people don't realize how hard that is to like, that you try to find a personality. In the short time I've been doing it, is I go, I'm trying to find me. And what like, I'm trying to be real because the audience can sense when you're not being genuine. Mm-hmm. And you go up there and it's really like, oh, there's Fortune.
I'm like, hey, what's up, guys?
She's telling a fucking story and it's a good story. And people like her.
I am a stand-up, but in a lot of ways I'm more of a storyteller. So it's different. And I'm not like delivering punchlines every 20 seconds. I'm telling you a story. We're going on a journey. And I'm lucky that people right now want to hear it.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Well, what made you want to do that?
Probably that messed up childhood.
I think me too. There's something dysfunctional that I just didn't know who, I couldn't find who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And being not being me was actually the best part of like doing a play. And I'm like, oh, they like me for this character because they're not accepting me when I'm not in the play.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that similar or were you, did you have friends? Were you popular?
I was always the person who was friends with everybody. I was never in a group. I was never like, oh, she's a part of the cheerleaders or the whatever.
I was like that too.
I was friends with everybody.
The hoods, they called them.
Yep,
the theater
guys.
Yeah,
I was friends with the hoods.
The smokers, everybody. The nerds. I was somewhere in the middle. Like if anybody ever said, hey, do you remember Michael Rosenbaum? No. Some people might go, I think he used to.
I doubt that.
I don't remember there being any Jews in the high school.
My hometown was small. I come from a town of 5,000.
Did you say your hotel?
My hometown.
Oh, they said, at my hotel is small.
Like, I lived in a hotel.
You went to school in a hotel?
It's the South. No, we had five. Everyone knew who everyone was because it was a town of 5,000 people. But after my parents did what they did, I think I channeled that into school. Like, I didn't want to be at home, so I want, like, school was the only saving grace.
So you studied a lot?
I was such an overachiever.
What was your SAT score?
I had a terrible SAT score.
It's probably higher than
but
mine,
I graduated from college summa cum laude, so I was a great
summa
student.
Cum laude.
Yeah.
What's the other laude? There's another
Magna,
one?
That's Magna. Summa's the highest one.
Obviously, I didn't get to that level. I don't even know what their name
is. I made all A's and only two B's in all of college.
I got a C in nutrition.
My SAT scores were shit, so, you know.
Some people aren't good testers.
I'm not a good tester.
I don't test well.
But I just kind of became an overachiever. I joined all the clubs. I played three sports year-round. Even in college, I was president of my school. And I just channeled everything into, I knew things at home weren't great, so I was just like, how do I become successful? How do I make people like me? But I wasn't doing it just to be liked. It was just like, okay, this other part of my life is really hard, so where can I find happiness? Where can I find success?
Right.
And that was at school.
But through all this dysfunction with your family and you're 12 years old and you're not getting enough attention, on top of it, what age were you starting to feel like, I'm looking at a girl and that's kind of right to me?
It was a long time.
It had to be early because you're born with it.
Ish.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. It's 100% genetic.
Exactly. What do you think what do you say to people who think, no, you can make a choice?
I want them to watch RuPaul's Drag Race and think, you think these guys just one day chose to?
It's
like
unbelievable,
who you are,
right?
It's who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, you know, and the more people can embrace who people really are, the happier we'll all be. I mean, I can look back in hindsight and pinpoint 1,000 things.
What was the one of the first things you remember?
I mean, gosh, at 5, like chasing girls with the boys, I was.
And you didn't want the boys.
I didn't want the boys, but I wanted to chase the girls with the boys. That's what you did. And you picked on the girls. And girls had it real hard, even from the start.
Yeah.
That's how boys.
They show their affection.
Like,
yeah. They pick on you.
They're like, you're ugly. And I love you.
You're ugly.
You're ugly.
I need you.
I really love you.
I really adore
you. But I'm too young to know what this means.
Oh, you're the ugliest thing ever. Your eyes are beautiful.
That's what women have to deal with since age of five.
They still have to deal with it. I know. So,
and right. Yeah, and I played tons of sports. I always wanted to be on this. You know, when you play soccer, they're like, you guys are shirts and you're skins. And I wanted to be on the skin. I always wanted to take my shirt off. Because even...
Because you can't be naked.
You can't be naked. But you wanted to be. I really wanted to take my shirt off. I was like, for the love of God,
please
let me take my shirt off.
I need
off.
To show my tits. That's the opposite of me. I had no armpit hair as a junior in high school. I was like, nope, I'm shirts or I'm out. No one could see that I don't have puberty yet.
I was dying to take my shirt off.
Really? Were you a flasher? Were you at home showing your tits to your family or anything? Mom, look!
Just walking around in boxers and all tits. No, I think...
But yeah, you talked about manners. You had manners.
I had manners,
so you probably didn't fart or burp or anything.
Oh, God, I did that. But I mean manners in public. Manners in public as far as what utensils to use and right. Putting your napkin in your lap, all that. Holding doors for people.
You know how to where the utensils go.
I do.
That's embedded
I was a debutante. So I have all that. I had to go to cotillion. I have a dual side to me as well of like I grew up with this debutante manners cotillion side, and then my dad was like, let's go eat chicken wings and watch NASCAR.
Can you chew tobacco?
Oh, God, no. I don't even want to, though. It's so disgusting.
It's pretty
to
disgusting.
Me. You do it, don't you?
No.
You don't?
No, I hadn't done it in many, many years. When I was young, I tried it, and I put a dip. It's called a dip.
Uh-huh.
A Kodiak in my lip, and it was just too much, and I swallowed some juice, and I threw up all night, and I never wanted it again.
Well, good.
Rob, you ever dipped?
No.
You never did? You ever smoke a cigarette?
Smoked a cigarette, yeah.
You still smoke?
No.
You a smoker?
Nope.
Any pot?
Nope.
Nothing. So you really just to kind of, you get drunk?
Not often.
Rob's
I'm
perfect.
I'm like a beer or two.
Rob's
perfect.
You drink.
When you have a kid, you don't really drink anymore. Well, you,
sure you
have to
do.
Wake up like at name 7 a.m.
Oh, have you met true. Liz Carey? She's a good friend of ours.
We love Liz.
But we love Liz.
We
I'm just saying
Liz.
She'll... She'll get, you know, she'll give a babysitter to the kid. Yeah, she's not going to watch the kid.
She's responsible.
She's responsible, mom. I'm just saying, but she still is able to have a good time.
They're a little bit older, too. They can take
That's
care
true.
Of themselves.
Helps
yeah,
them
the child's older.
Yeah. what did you, you said I drink. I drink, I'm not a big drinker, but I
You get
I drink.
Tipsy.
I get tipsy, yeah.
You get your tips on.
Tips and tits on.
Tips and tits out.
Tips
on.
Tips.
Tips out. So when did you, was it hard to approach your parents about like, hey.
Oh, yeah, you asked me when I knew about the lady thing.
Yeah, and when was your first kiss? Mine was Meredith Kramer.
Oh.
I think Meredith
old,
Kramer.
Good old Meredith.
I remember Meredith.
She didn't like it.
She didn't?
Oh, she never asked for another one. Oh,
okay.
So that
well,
hurt
she,
the confidence.
She was exploring her options.
Maybe.
I did not really date anyone hardly at all in high school or college. I was just sort of asexual because I didn't know why guys weren't interested in me, and I didn't know why I didn't think of them as more than like
friends
my soccer
or,
buddies or
right.
whoever. You don't realize that as men and women who are straight, you put out a thing, you know? There's a thing. I don't know what you call that. Is that the pheromones or whatever?
Maybe.
And so I think when you're straight, something about you is putting out something to the other person, like,
and
hey.
You didn't put much out to anybody.
No, I didn't. And the guys didn't feel that pull towards me. So, you know, as a kid, you just think, oh, no one likes me. Like, ugh. Guys don't like me. And you don't know why you're getting rejected.
And you were feeling this through high school, through college?
Yeah, I just felt like, God, nobody. Because I'm not putting my attention towards women because I don't really know what it is because I am from small town South. There was no out people. Like the couple of gay people in my hometown were married to the person of the opposite sex. And I remember thinking, well, that seems
that's odd.
Odd.
Yeah.
But it was life. And, you know, the internet wasn't really into play until I was in college, and there was no YouTube. I couldn't, like, access to
gay people.
You had no
knowledge.
Yeah.
You had no real, like...
I knew what gay was, yeah. But I was like, it's not
but
something
it was
looked, I understand.
It was frowned upon, probably, yeah. Especially where you were from, where I was from in Southern Indiana.
Well, people just didn't talk about
they
it.
They just didn't talk about it.
So. It wasn't like people were like, I hate queers. They just didn't talk about it. So I knew what gay was. I didn't know what it was in terms of me. And so it wasn't like I was less. I definitely had friends, women friends, who I was too intense about. I'd get really upset when they would meet a guy or go on a date.
Wow. But I can understand that.
And I just assumed it was like, oh, that's she's my best friend. And like, I just assumed I was so in.
You got your hopes up for something that just wasn't going to happen.
Exactly.
And it kind of upset you.
Yeah. So I had a couple of intense friendships where
sure. Did you lose friendships because of it?
We always were cool, but there were moments on their part where it was like, whoa, like, what? Calm down. But no one was like, you're gay. Stop being a homosexual towards me.
Did you ever make a pass at anyone?
I didn't.
Because I know you didn't have the confidence, but I'm thinking maybe you were drunk one night in college and your friend Marie's looking good and you're like, no, you're gay. You just don't know it.
Never had the confidence to do that. I just sort of, again, I think from what I experienced with my parents, I took whatever anyone was willing to give me love-wise. If it was a arm graze... There take you it. Go. I'll take it. If it was just we'll hang out and go to the movies, I'll take it. So I didn't have enough in me from experience to say, no, I deserve more than this. I've got to find this in the right place. I just did. I was too young to know any better. So you just take what you get.
But that's incredibly sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because I think that happens not only to gay people, but people in general, they just, they don't, for some reason, they can't have that. They can't find that connection. They can't, they don't know how to do it. And they end up, I mean, even I find myself alone at night going, even though it's different.
Yeah.
I'm just like, but it's a different thing. It's like, I'm alone with myself at times.
Right.
Like, what is it that I feel so alone? But for you, it was just like, you wanted the affection. You wanted
I wanted it.
You
I just
didn't know how to get it.
I didn't know how to get it. And so I think a lot of, you know, when some people are like, why do gay people get all worked up about things? I think a lot of us, it's different now, I think, in the youth that are coming up, because more people are like at 12, I'm gay, gender's fluid, whatever. But for a lot of us coming up earlier, it was, you just grew up with a lot of no's, a lot of like, nope, no thank you. And so there have been plenty of gay people who've overcome that and have, you know, so many gay people have very happy lives. And there are other gay people who have not been able to dust that off. You know, alcoholism becomes
overbearing parents,
more rampant, that self-loathing. But and that is not obviously just the gay community. Everyone deals with certain demons or diseases. And but I do see it affect certain gay people in that being told no, even if it's not verbal, just the act of no one's wants you is tough. And it takes a little while to shake that off. So I went through high school and college with just sort of nothing. I threw everything into work, into school, into...
So you were hiding behind work.
Yes.
You were hiding behind...
It is the only place I could succeed. It's the only place I had any control.
People don't know what it's like. Like my friend Chris, he's African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't possibly understand what it is like to be African-American.
Mm-hmm.
To walk down the street and people look at you a different way.
Yeah.
Or Hispanic, or minorities in general, or being gay.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that straight people or white people, they just... You don't get it. You'll never understand that feeling that you're being looked at differently, that you're being perceived differently, that you can't be. So. And for many years, especially being gay, I couldn't imagine going through high school, especially where I was from. Everybody's like, you're gay. You're a fag. You're, you know, and people joke around, but they don't know what kind of that does to people, especially when I couldn't imagine all these things happening and then going, I actually am. I remember they called me Rosie Palm because Rosenbaum, Rosie.
Oh, right.
So Rosie Palm, I was like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You jerk off, I guess, or whatever.
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm like, you're gay. And I'm like, I remember thinking, am I gay?
Uh-huh.
Am I gay? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I used to, in fact, I thought there was a part of my time in my life where I thought, I think I asked my dad and he wouldn't give me a direct answer. He just said, oh, it's when two men bump weenies. I go, what?
Hey, that's pretty, just pretty good explanation.
Weenie bumping?
That's all there is.
That doesn't sound too bad. two wieners just
wieners touching?
Head to head?
Okay.
just popping each other?
Sign me up.
Why are people frowning on weenie bumping? Doesn't sound too bad to me.
Weenie bumping.
Rob, you ever hear of weenie bumping?
Yeah, I've heard of weenie bumping.
I've heard of it, yeah. But I don't partake.
I don't partake. So when was the moment? Because it is a happy ending. Because obviously,
yeah,
I look
for
at,
sure.
But when? What age did you finally meet somebody who's like, "Hey, I'm attracted to you"?
Yeah. Well, I will say things are better. So it is the journey's evolving for everyone.
Oh yeah, things are better in general. Like, yeah, they are evolving.
But if anyone that can, it has a hard time understanding why. You hear a lot of outrage on Twitter, like gay people are so sensitive. It stems from that.
All those years. Sure.
So that if that can help in any way, understand that's where that comes from.
I think
from.
That's with anything, right? Yeah. It's the same thing as like, okay, we have a black president now. Everything's, it's like, yeah, but we were,
yeah.
Have you ever heard of the civil rights movement that was only 50 years ago?
Yeah.
There's, I mean, you just don't, so again, you don't understand. It takes a minute.
Yeah, you know?
You just have to be a little bit more, what's the word?
Understanding. Empathetic or sympathetic.
Yeah, exactly.
After college, I moved to Spain for a year, and it was, I was by myself a lot. It was a year of reflection. I didn't have the pressures anymore of, like, society, because I was very alone. I didn't know many people there. And I still didn't kiss any woman or anything, but it let me sort of let go of the expectations of people, my family. And once I got back from Spain, I moved to LA to work for this actress. And I remember being in LA, I'm starting to see gay people around and like nobody gives a shit. People are holding hands.
Was that fun?
Yeah, but I was like, it's funny when someone's in the closet and that either they don't know or they're intentionally in the closet. They get a little homophobic. So I would get kind of nervous around, especially lesbians. I'd be like, I can't be friends with her. She'll figure me out. But I'm not saying this to myself consciously. It's all subconscious.
Right.
So you don't know what you're doing. And I just remember being nervous in West Hollywood. It was a lot. It's a lot for someone.
What year is this?
This was like 2003, 2004. And I remember seeing a gay pride parade on the local access channel and being like, huh, interesting. And I started to get drawn in a little bit. And then the big kicker was the first season of The L Word came out. And it was super hot chicks.
I live with the girl who was one of the leads on that show. We lived together. Yeah.
They were like banging everywhere. But then some of them were having like nice, normal lives. So to like see,
was this the first time where, I mean, obviously you before that there was the internet and porn and stuff.
Yeah.
You could watch gay porn. Would you do that?
No.
Yeah, you don't seem like somebody who'd watch a lot of porn.
No, I didn't watch it. I wasn't really curious about that part of it. The sex part of it, you become more intrigued later. I wanted to see normal gay people. I was like, what do two women that are just normal, what does their lives look like? And in the first few seasons of The L Word, it showed that. It became salacious later on. But
sure.
In the beginning, I was like, look at these women.
They're real.
They're real. They have professional jobs. They're in healthy relationships. They've got a cute lesbian coffee shop they're all hanging out at. That appealed to me.
Yeah. It's also educating.
Yeah. And it made a world of difference. And that honestly was what sort of led me out of my fog in that I wasn't scared of it as much anymore. This is when Craigslist was really popular. Is before the guy murdered people on Craigslist.
Craig. Well, Craig started murdering
people and it became a real downer. But you could meet people then. It was,
and
like,
that's when you started to do it. You said, fuck it. Did you have a friend you could confide in and you were like, hey,
no, I didn't tell anyone.
All alone still. Let's see, you're born 84 years old.
24.
Yeah.
I went on a couple of blind dates. Three.
Were you nervous as fuck?
Oh, terrified.
Had you not kissed a girl at this point?
Not kissed a girl.
You're 24, 25, and you still haven't kissed a girl.
And all three of those dates were awful. And I couldn't have gotten out of there faster.
And no kisses on any of them.
No, because that wasn't, there was no chemistry.
Well, what was the first one?
It turns out that both of you being women and lesbians isn't enough to have a connection.
It's called chemistry. That's, it doesn't matter.
I just was like, I just got to find a lesbian and kiss her.
Yeah, were there times that you're having dinner, you're like, I do not want to F this person.
Yeah, for sure. You know, then you realize that, oh, this is just like, straight people, you still got to find someone that you're compatible with. All of this sounds very naive, but it's just my journey. I don't know. I guess
right. And at the same time, you're starting stand-up comedy.
Well, so finally in 2005, I tell this in my stand-up, I was watching a Lifetime movie. And it was a movie about a young girl in high school realizing that she was a lesbian. And I watched this girl's journey for an hour and a half. I guess, you know, these movies do mean something to people. And at the end of that movie, I for the first time in my life, was like, oh my God, I'm gay. It came to me like a
Lifetime movie in 2004 or 5 made you realize.
Yeah.
All those chasing girls at a young age, going through high school, getting mad in college when your friend was talking to a boy and being enraged.
It was all underneath.
You didn't know then. It was all underneath.
All underneath.
But it kind of surfaced during this Lifetime
totally
movie.
Totally went. It was like a volcano. Like,
Rob, maybe you and I should both find this movie. And make sure.
You'll become a lesbian.
Make sure we're not lesbians or be happy with it.
But then after that, I had still not kissed a girl, but I knew I was gay. And I told my parents.
What'd they say?
My mom was just, I told her at a Chinese restaurant. I was like,
did you tell her in Chinese?
I had her open her a fortune cookie. And it said,
what's your fortune? Your daughter will be telling you she's gay.
I'm gay. She was just very quiet. She just listened to me.
Uh-huh.
It was more of just like, are you sure? And I think for parents, it's more of like, everything I wanted for you or imagined for you is not going to be the same. So your parents have to adjust their vision, their hopes. But a lot of parents who genuinely love their kids and want the best for them and still accept them for who they are, it's more of just, I don't want your life to be harder for you than it has to be. I think that's where a lot of fears come from.
Right. And then you're like, okay, mom, I changed my mind. I like men again.
Yeah.
No. Of course.
And my dad was just like, oh, you're my daughter. You're my daughter. I love you. You're my daughter. He didn't know what to say.
Did he, don't call me daughter. Stop calling me daughter.
Well, my mom was nearby. She's like, Mike, she knows she's your daughter. She's telling you she's gay.
She's your gay daughter. Just deal with it. Did he cry?
No, we just had a real moment. It was just like, okay, you know, we were talking like
was
adults.
Was it hard for you?
The lead up was hard, but in the moment it was okay. But they love me. No, I've never had any. That's why I say my parents have evolved a lot too. We're all very close now. They cannot be more accepting. My mom is actually a big gay advocate now.
Oh, that's awesome.
She is the president of my hometown PFLAG, which is like the parent organization.
Did you deal with a lot of hate, like, you know,
no.
Queers, this? You never really heard a lot of it?
I have been to events where there's a lot of people outside with signs that are like, I hate fags and you're going to hell. Like, you see that a lot of places. But me personally, I've been fairly lucky. Because you mentioned stand-up. The year I started stand-up was right around when I came out a year before I started stand-up. So by the time I started stand-up, I was out. So I've never done stand-up in the closet. I've
so
always,
you were
always been out.
You were making jokes right out of the closet.
Right out of the bat, yeah. And it's kind of neat that they came at the same time, because coming out and realizing I was gay was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulder. Like, I was always a happy person. I've always been a very positive person. But I tell you, it was like the floodgates opened on positivity.
Just said, fuck it!
Life would never been better, because I was like, finally.
So you've only really been enjoying life for the last 14
years.
Yeah,
everything else before that was a blur.
Kind of, right? It's like, this is who you are.
Well,
and
like,
now,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's a peace in it. Just to like, oh, I can breathe. I know who I am. And so starting stand-up at the same time was kind of this beautiful crossroads of like these two things intermingling at the same time. Like, I finally know who I am. And I'm starting stand-up where I tell people who I am.
Yeah.
So it was a cool thing to start those journeys together.
And last Comic Standing was like a big thing for you?
Yeah, that was my first TV thing. Because I had been doing, I started at the Groundlings and stand-up right around 2005.
But it took you years to really get going?
Yeah, because I would do tons of shows locally. Around town, people knew who I was because I was... It was always at the Groundlings or always at the Comedy Store.
Right.
But I just, no one knew what to do with me. The industry was just like, we don't.
Did you get a lot of laughs always?
Yep.
Did you ever like not, were you ever like going, I love this, but I'm just not good at it right now. I need to get better.
Oh yeah, for sure. I had a lot to learn. I still am trying to get better. I mean, it's a journey and I know a lot more now. Like I tested twice for SNL back in 2009 and 2010, but if I, and I obviously didn't get it, but what I learned by being in the Sunday Company just a year or 2 years later, I'm a different performer.
Right.
If I had tested maybe 2 years later, it could have been a whole different ballgame, but it wasn't meant to be, you know, it wasn't, that journey wasn't supposed to be mine. So I always just trust, I trust my path.
Yeah.
And I trust.
It's hard to like. It's hard to trust the path unless you know what path that really is, right?
Yeah, but because you can never know.
I guess you can never know. I mean, fate. I always say the hand of fate will take you wherever it wants.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I feel that way. It's like I've done all these different things in my life, and I'm always trying to find purpose and like,
yeah,
what's going to make me happy, and what am I going to just. And I think that those, you're right, it changes. Things change and you get pulled into a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And even though some people are like, what are you doing? You're good at this. Don't be doing that. You're pretty good at that. But don't not do that. Even my business manager's like, it's like, hey, you got to get a show here. Got to get you on the TV again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I want to be on the TV doing that again.
You're like, God, thanks for the pressure, man. I mean,
exactly. There's a lot of pressure that you just have to, it has to be, it's again, it's your journey.
Yeah.
So I say, hey, with all due respect, Mark, fuck off.
Yeah.
I love you. Fuck off. This is my journey. And if I'm not making enough money for you to keep me, then I'll save whatever I'm making on having it, whatever. And he's a great guy.
Yeah.
But like, you have to go on your journey. You have to do what you want
to
do.
And you have to be open, you know, open to things and
explore.
Maybe things will come your way that you weren't expecting or like you didn't see yourself doing that type of thing. And I don't know, just be open to changes and whatever that is. So I don't know. I try to just work really hard. And
how hard do you work? What's your work?
I think
after?
I work a lot.
Like, wake up at what time?
7.
And what do you do at 7?
Coffee, breakfast,
news.
I'm trying to walk my dogs right now to just be healthier myself.
It's hard to do that.
It's hard. I'm doing it like every other day right now.
Yeah. I have an assistant. She doesn't even want to walk the dogs. I'm like, I pay you. Can't you walk the
She's
fucking
like,
dogs?
Find somebody else.
You live on a steep hill though.
Yeah, it is a steep hill, but it's not that steep. I walk.
There's
up.
No sidewalk.
Yeah, it's dangerous. All right,
you can't big dogs.
Then I'm usually on my email first thing in the morning. Trying to just, because I don't have an assistant. I'm not as fancy as you.
I'm not fancy. Here's the deal. I think with me is I don't have a partner.
Uh-huh.
I travel a lot.
Yeah.
You can't have dogs without having someone watch the dogs. And
true.
I want someone who loves them unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Jess also takes care of me. It's like, you know, I don't have a girlfriend or a wife. So, you know, when I'm sick, she helps me. When I need to go to the doctor, when I had neck surgery, she takes me there. She stayed
That's
an
nice.
Extra couple days. She stays when I'm gone for doing a show for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm gone. And like, she's like family, and I trust her.
That's awesome.
And it's like someone I've never trusted someone like this in my life. So
that's
to me,
awesome.
It's like I'm not paying her. She's my assistant. She's just like, I like to surround myself with people that are family that I trust. I know that I can go sleep on Rob's couch, right?
Rob,
you can come sleep on our couch.
I feel like I could sleep on Rob's couch.
Yeah, that's
we
great.
Love each other. We talk to each other like we're brothers. We're
I
like,
love
fuck
that.
You, dude. I don't like how you talk to me. What do you mean you don't like how I talk to you? I was just telling you to do this. I know, but I got a lot of shit on my plate. You know, and
you're cool.
Yeah. Rob, do you know what your what's the word? Journey? You know where it's going?
I have no idea.
Do you want to do, like, you know, Rob, this wouldn't be, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for Rob.
Oh, yeah?
Like, you should do a podcast. And I'm like, it's like, you're good with people. You should do it.
So it's perfect for you.
It is. It's evolved. We've evolved. So yeah. I thank you that for Rob for getting me to do it. But, you know, and then things evolved for Rob. So now he's doing another podcast, my other friend's podcast, that's kicking ass, Dax Shepard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic. So he's producing that. So Rob's career is really taking off. Now, Rob could probably make a really good career out of just doing my podcast and Dax's.
Yeah.
For the, you know, and then be happy. But he's always thinking about
things. I love Dax. He's so cool.
Dax is the best, and Kristen's the best. They're both on the show. And
I did Growlings with Dax's sister.
Carly. Carly plays softball with us every weekend.
Yeah, she's great.
A wonderful.
I haven't seen her in a long
time. Good old Yurt, her husband, her boyfriend. Yurt.
I haven't seen Carly in a number of years. I hate that I haven't seen her, but she's so funny.
Yeah, she's great.
She just texted me.
She did just now?
Tell her I said hi.
Let's read it. What does it say?
She's talking about Armchair Expert shirts. I don't think we.
So where do you see yourself? Do you want to do more Netflix? Like, have you done a Netflix special?
I've done a half hour special.
You did a half hour special. You want to do an hour?
I would love to do an hour. I feel like no one considers you like a legit stand up until you've done an hour. I've done two half hours. I've got one on Comedy Central from several years ago, and then the stand ups. It was the half hour. But I would love to do an hour. I'm close. I've got about like 45 minutes right now.
Solid shit.
Yeah, but I need to definitely get that last 15 really strong. And then you just got to find the
So that's what you're working on every day.
Yeah, but it's hard because you're doing
stand-up.
I spread myself pretty thin sometimes because I love acting. I really, really want to do more acting. And it's become, I think, come to the forefront for me. But again, I'm a very specific type. I'm not going to just book roles all the time because, you know, people aren't always like, hey, where's that fat lesbian with a southern accent? I'm a very specific thing. So acting comes when it comes. And then I've started developing a lot again. I've sold two.
Yeah, you sold two TV shows, didn't you?
I've sold two scripted TV shows in the past. I just sold a non-scripted TV show. And then I've sold two movies to Steven Spielberg's company, Amblin. Yeah. So
come on.
I'm working on those.
So you're doing everything.
I'm doing everything. So that those movie rewrites are very time consuming. So it's hard to write my stand up when I need to. Right. I'm touring a lot, though. So I'm constantly performing.
Make a lot of money touring, don't you?
Not like the guys make. Not like
now, what's that about?
Like, Bert and Chris.
Do you think? Is there some kind of part of you? Because you're probably friends with a lot of these guys, but deep down, are you kind of like, oh, this is the bro crew?
No,
these
I love are the them. Dudes.
They,
I love them.
They got there's like a click of them. Yeah, I love them too.
It's just different with women. It's different. There aren't most.
Explain
of the,
that.
Most
yeah.
of the people going to comedy shows are men. They just are, and so men tend to gravitate towards men. It's not as many men are saying, I got to go check out these chick stand-ups. It doesn't happen.
Right, right.
A lot of the dudes that come to my show are usually coming because their girlfriend or wife
loves you.
Or, yeah, one of them. And I can always tell the guys will be like cross arms. You know, you can tell they don't want to be there. But the great thing is that those guys are the first ones to come after the show high-fiving me. And they will be like, I didn't know who the fuck you were. I thought my girlfriend was crazy.
I didn't want
to come. And it's great. I love that. But the goal is that the guys will find me on their own and want to come. Because my shows aren't a bunch of dykey lesbian jokes.
I know, that's what I think people will think. And I was even watching, I've watched a couple of your shows and it's like, that's exactly what it's not.
Yeah.
I try
to talk about everything.
It's like, hey, it's like my mom texts me. I got to read you this fucking text of what my mom said. She's like, or the thing where she's like, and I was like, oh my God, I do this.
Uh-huh.
You know, my mom's on Xanax and she's like, do you remember so-and-so? It's like, no. You don't remember so-and-so? No.
Yeah.
You can't remember so-and-so? Okay, fine. I do whatever. She's dead.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that, which is hilarious, which everybody can relate to. So
yeah, because I'm a person first.
Yeah.
Being gay is part of me, but I am a person. So I try to do my stand-up that talks about every aspect of being a person. Some of it is being gay. Some of it is being overweight. Some of it is dealing with family. Some of it's whatever.
It's life.
It's life. So I hope that as I continue that I obviously love all the women that come to my show, but I do want men to feel like they can come too. But my point is, it's a little easier for male comics to acquire a big fan base and a very loyal fan base.
Yeah.
With women, it just takes longer.
Who's your favorite comedian?
Love Bill Burr. He's been really good to me. And he was good to me at a time when no one knew who I was. And he was like so awesome. But he's so funny.
Yeah.
And great. I like, and he's, you know, he's one of those guys. He's been around for a while. He has a lot of respect, as he should. And he can talk about things that other people can't. And I love just his brain. He's very smart and funny.
What female?
Well, I mean, of course, I love Ellen. I do love Ellen. And I haven't watched her special yet because I've been out of town. But I draw a lot from her because she's a very positive person who talks about life. And she does not put herself in a box either.
Right.
So I really love that vibe that she puts out.
I also like Jade.
No, oh, yeah, Jade.
You know Jade?
Yeah,
I think she's really funny. She's kind of an up-and-comer. But I think she's
Aaron
really
Foley's
funny.
Erin Foley's very funny. She's talks about a ton of stuff. Michelle Buteau's very funny.
Kristen Wiig, I think, is the funniest person on the planet.
She's
not
so
really a stand-up, though, right?
She's so talented.
But she's so talented.
She could do anything.
I personally think when somebody says, who's the funniest person on the planet, I always think Kristen Wiig.
I have on my vision board from this year and last year, I really hope that the universe lets me do a movie with her.
God,
someday.
I would love to work with her. I wanted to date her years ago.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, God, find Krista. She's singing. I think she's married now. But I mean, anyway, yeah, I love it. She was so funny.
Yeah.
And it made her even more beautiful. You know what I mean? Just when someone's funny, it's just
yeah, she's rad. And Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, but she doesn't do stand-up.
I know, but I want to do a movie with her, too.
Do you want to do her?
No.
Do you find her attractive?
I love her and Dax as a couple. I think she's gorgeous.
Have you ever had sex with a man?
No, I haven't.
Would you ever want to?
I'm a gold star. I don't know. That's hard to answer now because
you're with
I'm
somebody.
Taken.
But what if... Yeah, let's hope that lasts forever.
But if I weren't with Jax, I'd be riding D's.
You'd be S&D's and R&D's. That's riding.
I'd go skins.
You'd give it a shot if it ever came down to that.
I don't know. I'm not one to say like never. No, at no way. I don't know. Maybe I would have.
Rob, could you S a D?
I think that's
just not in your
Rob,
genes.
Rob
right?
says
that's not
no. What
you're not attracted. To
I don't
that.
Want an S a D.
Right. You but definitely never would want an S a D.
I never want an S a D.
But you are a D.
Because D's.
You'd ride one. You'd ride one. What if you and
it's funny to joke about it, but when I actually like think about it,
what are you doing? Is it kind of a gross thought?
It seems very gross.
Is it gross to you like it is like to us, like thinking of S-ing a D? Is it gross to you? Like,
I'm not grossed out by men at all. Like, everyone just assumes lesbians are like, ugh, men, gross.
Well, no, they're single bisexual.
But I'm definitely not bisexual.
Right.
But I have two, I've always loved men in a, and felt very comfortable with him because I have two older brothers,
right?
And a dad. So I just men have always been a part of my world, and I'm friends with a lot of men.
Have you seen a naked penis?
Yeah, occasionally.
Like, and what's your first? Like, oh, come on.
I mean, the first one I've seen is very gross, and it sounds very southern of me.
What happened?
I saw my brother's penis.
Which brother?
My oldest brother was, our bedrooms were all beside each other, and when he was in high school, we didn't shut our doors at night, and I walked by his room in the morning,
and he
had a big boner. He was asleep.
He had a boner?
Going.
He saw his naked boner.
Through the box. You know,
but you didn't see his naked
No,
boner.
Just the shaft part.
Yeah.
It was going through, you know, the boxer flap.
Yeah.
And I saw it and threw up.
Did you throw up?
No one wants to see their brother's
I saw my mom's breasts
shaft.
Once, and I was like, I'm going to throw up, but they were kind of cool looking. I was like, oh, gross. But I was like, oh, but they're still kind of cool. Oh, I'm going to throw up. It's my mom. Oh, those are tits. I
you
saw
were
tits.
Like, a tits, a tits.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to ever see those again. But they were tits.
I've seen some friends' penises. I don't love the
some
look of a penis.
Some of your straight friends will show you a penis.
Or gay guys.
Yeah.
I have a lot of straight female friends, and they used to show me the penises that guys, you know, the dick pics.
Right.
They'd show me the dick pics.
I don't like seeing like pics of penises.
Well, it's weird because the guys are always taking the pictures from what's the angle? It's like down up,
downward dog.
Where
I don't know.
So the penis looks a lot bigger.
Oh yeah, or they
So you're just seeing like the bottom of balls.
That's weird.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It didn't sell me.
And gay men always have immaculate balls, right?
They take pretty good care.
There's no hairs, no penis hair.
Yeah.
No butt hair, butthole hair. Do you have butthole hair?
Probably.
Yeah, me too. I have butthole hair. Yeah. But I'll sometimes take an electric razor and I'll shave just the cheeks a little bit. The inside.
Oh, the inside
just
cheek.
A little bit. I'll prop my leg up on the counter and I'll just.
I would love to see you shaving
I would Instagram it if I wouldn't get kicked off Instagram or if people would have said, what is he doing?
I want to see you.
He's gone crazy.
I want to see you one leg up,
shaving naked as your a butthole. Fucking, yeah.
I'm sure there's hairy.
It's not my butthole. I don't shave my butthole.
I mean,
but I'll
your
trim
butt crack.
My butt crack. I'll shave it a little if it gets a little too hairy.
I can't reach back there.
By the way, why do women, and you can't answer this because
I definitely can't.
Because you're a lesbian.
I can't speak for women.
But like women are really turned off by a flaccid penis. They want it to be hard. I had a girl I was dating and, you know, if like she was going to give me oral pleasure. I don't know why I said oral pleasure when I say
a beach.
But she was like, I'm not giving you head, you're soft right now. I'm like, well, it will get hard.
She,
for some reason in their mind, they didn't want to see of something that was flaccid.
A little warm.
Well, so
warm-y.
I don't know.
What is it?
Warmy.
Warmy?
So I don't know about warm-y. This. Oh. Is that, I don't know about this, obviously, because I've never given a BJ. Is the rule that it needs to be hard first? Is that the norm?
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes if you're dating someone a while, it's like, hey, get me going. I'm not just hard immediately when someone
okay.
walks in.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know. I in the movies, they're always real pointy.
When I'm 46, I'm not going to always have a boner. I've told every girl I've dated from this time on, I'll say, hey, look, I'm 46. I'm not going to give you all you. Oh, like, I mean, I'm going to give you all
I'm
I
not,
got.
I'm going to give you all I got.
But look, sometimes
but
it's not going to be enough. And if you're, there's a song. If your best isn't good enough, how could it be good at all? So I don't
at
know.
At least you're up front.
I'm up front. Look, I'm like, I got 80% boners.
Okay.
You know,
that's
there's
the first thing you say to a girl. Yeah.
Do you always
get
boners, Rob?
I'm pretty consistent.
Shut up.
He's married.
He's 29.
You're 29?
I'm 30.
Okay.
Fortune, are you always ready to go when Jax is ready to go?
I always have boners.
Jax.
But I have a constant 24/7 boner.
Are you always horny?
No.
Are you always ready to go? Is Jax the initiator, the instigator?
No, we take turns on
does
that.
Does she ever say, I'm not in the mood?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you ever say, I'm not in the mood?
Well, I work.
Who says
too
it more?
She says it more. She's not in the mood.
You're a little bit, yeah.
But we're pretty even on that. I mean, right. The thing with lesbians that is interesting is you become best friends. It's true.
Yeah.
And the person becomes like your constant companion.
So is it hard to stay attracted to the person
you just have to remember to keep the romance because I am more comfortable with Jax than anyone in my whole life. And that can be that's a great thing because you want to spend your life with this person. But also if you're just like, we laugh constantly.
During sex?
We try not to during sex, but you have to shift, you know, where you're just like farting and joking about things.
Sure.
To like,
I have to
hey,
fart right now.
Hey, baby, you know?
I have to fart right now. Yeah. I had to fart for an hour during this
and
conversation.
And it's romantic.
Isn't it?
But yeah, you have to, he just farted.
I'm sorry.
You asshole.
You said farting and it just, my butt just thought, I'm sorry for that.
Rob is looking at me like,
They don't smell though.
I deal with this
all
a lot.
The time.
They don't smell, but you're so open. I love you. This is like there's nothing I could ask you that you don't, you just
yeah,
not, like, you're so forthcoming. But by the way, this happens for straight people. Like, do you ever think, you know, sometimes a girl, you know, your girlfriend's going down on you, Rob, Natalie's going down on you, your wife, who I'm talking about right now, but she's going down on you and she's thinking, oh my God, I just want this to get over with. Or you're going down or I'm going down on a girlfriend and, you know, I'm just like, blah, 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 and I'm like, just, you know.
Thank
just,
you for that.
Will you please have an orgasm so I can go to bed?
Well, life happens.
Life happens. I'm not always turned.
You're tired sometimes.
No, sometimes I'm just like, you know, praying, like, please stay hard. Please stay awake.
Yeah.
Please stay awake.
And that happened, I think, especially when the longer you're with someone,
sure.
The more you just are like, oh, I can't wait to just get in our bed and go to sleep.
Isn't that the number one thing? And the more I think about it, the more I think, like, I'm weird. I think I'm becoming more of a woman in the sense that I'm like, companionship's more important. It's about friendship. It's about life. It's about, are you going to be there for me?
Yeah.
And well, I'll be there for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because sex isn't at number one when I was like in my 20s.
Yeah.
It's not number one. I have to be attracted. I want to be attracted to you, I guess. But that's going to go.
Yeah, I know. That's why I tried to set him up once with a friend of mine. And I knew within 5 minutes of the meeting, it was not going to work.
Really?
You don't remember that?
What, you tried to...
I tried to set
you me up.
Yeah, I tried
with
to set you up. A couple of those when I first met you.
Oh, yeah, I thought she was pretty, though.
Yeah, but there wasn't... Y'all were not right for each other.
Wasn't right. And I don't want to waste time, too. And when friends are friends of other people, I'm like, you know, I don't know if I want to go there unless it really is there.
But I don't think... I think then you weren't ready for what you're ready for now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it takes guys, I think, longer to get to that place where companionship is more important, because for men, sex is way more important for a good majority of your life.
Yeah.
And not to say that it's not important for you still, but you're finally thinking more in the lines of companionship.
You've given me a lot to think about, Fortune.
I'm pretty smart.
You are pretty smart.
Don't let my southern accent fool you.
No.
I know a lot about straight couples.
I'm sure you do.
Well, I watched you guys for a very long time while I was on
you
the
observed.
Outside.
That, there's something to be said about that. You've observed for a long time.
So if any straight people need any relationship advice, let me know.
Where can they find you? What's your Instagram and
FortuneFeemster.com. And I'm on tour. Boston, Austin, Vancouver.
By the way, she's...
Tacoma,
listen, just,
Seattle.
She's hilarious.
Come
you
to
have to see her. You will really enjoy this show. Everybody who goes and sees her says, do you remember when I was like, hey, my friends want to see you. Can you give her tickets?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens all the time. You hear that all the time. You're genuinely fun. You're a genuine person.
Oh, thank you.
I've enjoyed being inside of you today. I hope you've enjoyed it.
It felt like you were inside of me.
Right? I feel like this was just a real treat. I hope you... Did you have fun?
I had a great time. I love talking to you. That's why I'm glad you're doing this podcast, because you're very easy to talk to.
Well, thank you.
And you know a lot. You're friends with, I feel like, everyone.
Yeah, I don't know if they're friends with me, but
but you're very personable. So sitting down with you, I feel like we've been talking for like 5 minutes.
Did you enjoy this?
I did.
She's great. We've always wanted
to. Rob keeps it very close to the vest. He doesn't really let you know where you stand with him.
I'm going to give you a little insight.
Yeah.
On one podcast with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
Rob revealed that he doesn't necessarily love himself.
Oh, Rob.
Along with Jennifer and myself, we don't love ourselves as much as we should.
Yeah.
And we're working on
everyone's
that.
Anyone that loves themselves like a ton, you're kind of like, what's wrong with you? But listen, the goal is to feel good about yourself.
And make other people feel good too.
Yeah.
How about being a good human being?
It doesn't need to be all about us.
No.
All the time. Love ourselves and love others.
Can I call you if I ever need you?
I would love for you to.
I would.
I hope you will.
I will.
And
what's your number?
We gotta.
I have it.
We gotta hang out.
We do.
Michael's like the mayor of getting people together and hanging out. But I was on tour.
Yeah, you were gone a lot.
I flew 150,000 miles last year.
Oh my god.
So it was crazy.
You're gonna listen.
Year's not as. I don't think
me
crazy
neither.
In that
I
way.
I calmed down a little. I don't have that many cities, but I do have a karaoke room downstairs, and you're coming to that with Jax, and we're gonna have a big lesbian straight fuck fest. No, I'm kidding. We're not.
Well, I'm going to sing some Journey.
Oh, yeah.
I love
All right. Thanks for allowing me to be inside. I appreciate you. I love you. You're always welcome
Thank
here.
Thank you, Michael.
And guys, check her out. What is it?
FortuneFeemster.com.
That's easy. Trust me. You're going to laugh
your shit off.
Your shit off.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.